the one and only Africa Allah and the B-Team DJs by Playmaster Dr. Day. Get familiar.
It's the one and only Africa Allah, and you are now tuned in to Being Africa Allah right here on Discover Music Channel by Playmaster Dr. Day. And today, we are examining the evolution of hip-hop culture, hip-hop music over the past 5 decades. As we get ready to celebrate 50 years of hip-hop culture. Again, with me, I have Cool V. You know, it's not official unless you hear the whistle.
There you go. You heard the whistle, so you know it's official.
So, V, welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for coming on and discussing hip-hop with me.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, in 1973, hip-hop, I don't even think that they thought that what they were doing was going to impact the world or change the culture. I think it was just a bunch of kids wanting to blow off some steam and have a little party because they couldn't go to the grown people party.
Yeah, I think it was, I think just a little bit more than that. I think that they knew they had something, but I thought they thought it was going to stick in the borough and it was going to stay in New York. I don't think they think that it was going to go farther. But hip hop has always been there, from the roots of jazz all the way on down to, you know, even early R&B. I forget the Fatback, what a dude, he had his song, and you had a few other songs where it kind of mimicked and showed you where it was going. And Cab Calloway, they did a number that was a rhyme, poetic rhyme, that, well, I guess you would call it hip-hop, but it wasn't hip-hop in the essence when it first started off with the music and everything else and the way it did. Like I said, it was a cultural thing that was for New York culture, that was for borough, from the music to the fashion to the look, and then it just caught worldwide. But I don't, like you said, I don't think they think it was going to be as epic as it is now.
Right. So the story goes, that on August 11th, and I apologize, I've been saying August 12th, but August 11th, 1973, DJ Kool Herc, a building resident, was entertaining at his sister's back-to-school party, mm-hmm. and tried something new on the turntables. Mm-hmm. He extended an instrumental beat, mm-hmm. breaking or scratching, mm-hmm. to let people dance a little longer. Mm-hmm. Break dancing. Mm-hmm. He began MCing. Rapping during the extended portion of the track.
Can I add something on there that you said?
Go ahead.
What people don't realize is that before the so-called MC we have now, it really wasn't the way we do it now. It was called MC, stand for microphone controller, and that was basically a way DJs captivated the crowd, you know, and what we did to prolong or to actually insert in before a track. So if a track was about to cut off, or if a track, you know, we wanted to elongate a song and started from intro to keep people still dancing or pumped about the crowd, that's how that started in, you know, that started up. And it didn't start, and I'm gonna let people know, it didn't just start with hip hop. It actually started with hip hop's cousin, which was disco. And if you realize, the very first, most of the first hip hop tracks is done on disco music. The very first video was done in Studio 69, Rappers Deluxe. What was they rapping off of? Disco. So it started off with that, you know what I mean? So when people try to act like it just came with electronic breakbeats and that's after, nah, that came after. The disco, it was the sampling of the music, like what Kool Herc was doing. He was taking disco music, prolongating it, and then came the art of MCing, you know? They said little catchy tunes and all that stuff, and that's how, you know, the MCing brought in. But people, like, it's in New York, you would see people will argue and they would say that hip hop started before Kool Herc, you know, because of the disco or because of the elongated of the tracks, and there was a few other DJs that were doing it, but Kool Herc made it famous. He's the one who was known for it. He's the one who started the breakout parties, you know what I'm saying, in the parks. And that's what, you know, really, you know, established that him being the founder of hip hop.
Correct. I think that's important to note, because a lot of people assume that 73 was the the beginning. And again, I think 73 is acknowledged as the birthplace of an industry.
Exactly.
Not necessarily the origin story of hip hop.
Because you're going to get different. You're going to get the, because first of all, you know, nowadays with social media, people can tend to twist and say they did this and that. Especially that's why a lot of hip hop pioneers get upset with a lot of new school artists, because they'll say I invented this or I did that, and it's been out for decades. So and then the new school guys be like, oh, they hating. No, they're not hating. You know, just give respect to the pioneers who've been doing it. It's been out. Hip hop's been here. A lot of stuff, even fashion, you know, stuff been here. People don't like to acknowledge people, you know, just, I feel like it's not just in hip hop. I feel today that a lot of people don't respect the pioneers of a lot of things. And I think the problem is because we've gotten to the social media disrespect era, and how the disconnect happened was because you had some older cats who started disrespecting the younger people. So now it's a beef between old and young. And it really wasn't even that. And it shouldn't never be intended that, because both sides have equal power. I mean, if there was no James Brown, there wouldn't be no Michael Jackson. If there was no Michael Jackson, there wouldn't be no Chris Brown. So you look, everything comes in and forms. It's the same thing with fashion, everything else. I just think that at the end of the day, with hip hop is so diverse, and there's so many different hip hop is its own it's its own genre for own reason, because there's so many different aspects of hip hop. It wasn't just the music. Hip hop started off as a culture, and it's a culture. That's why you see a lot of people say hip hop purists, hip hop culture, because it started off as a culture. Then it became they subjugated it to rap music. When it became rap music is when the industry took over, when the corporate America came in and got their hands in it and then changed it. And it was a bunch of lawyers and people who had money, you know, trying to delegate, you know, what the sound should be and what we should listen to and how it should be, you know, pushed and what's going on now, what's marketable. And it became different. But, you know, hip hop is a culture. Hip hop is a way of life. Hip hop is the way you walk, you talk, you dress, you live. That's what a lot of people don't get. And that's what KRS-One keeps always, you know, establishing and reminding a lot of these cats that it's a culture.
Correct. And they say that the people that popularized the hip hop culture were hip hop pioneers similar to Kool Herc, Afrika Bambaataa, and Grandmaster Flash. They considered them the holy trinity of the hip hop culture.
You know what? But the sad part about it is they do, but it was way before. You had a bunch of crews way before that. Treachery Street, Cold Cash, Cold Crush Brothers. You know what I'm just saying? I don't want to go into so many, but it's so many that was doing it first before them, but those were the ones who was popularized.
But I stated that at the very beginning.
Yes, you did.
Popularized, and there were several people that are quoted to be a part of the inception of that.
No, you're right about it. I just wanted to clarify to Africa, because we got a lot of listeners that will take what you say and run with it. You feel what I'm saying? Oh, they're the ones. So I just wanted to be clear on it. Like, you know, you're 100% right what you said. You said nothing wrong. I was just stating that sort of fact, so when people who are listening, your listening audience knows that it was out before, you know, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. There was groups before them. There was a lot of people, but they just wasn't popularized. They wasn't signed to the label. Those are the people who got deals.
Now, the name hip-hop. Mm-hmm. There are various explanations for the source of the term hip-hop. However, the most popular one involves Keith Cowboy Wiggins, mm-hmm. a member of the rap group Grandmaster Flash and the Furious mm-hmm. Five. Mm-hmm. He is credited as the person that coined the phrase hip-hop.
Mm-hmm. Undisputed.
Okay. At least I got 1 point for that.
No, you got points, period. So listen, first of all, to all the people listening, this is my sister, this is my fam. So there's never no, we can, you know, we agree, even when we agree to disagree, it's always like that. But that wasn't even a disagreement. That was just me reminding the audience that, Hip hop was here before it was before the phrase was coined and before it became right. popularized, and that it was here before. Just like when people talk about the art of DJing, like when we talk about turntables, well, I speak, and me and you as a DJ, we both know people be like, "Was it 1200s?" When people forget that Pioneers was the first in direct drive, and we didn't have built drive. Built drive didn't exist. You realistic Radio Shack was the first DJ actually outlet that was coined. It was actually for DJs, but that's a whole nother story. But my point is, people forget about some of the pioneers and they'll go past certain things. Just like when you talk to a lot of these young cats, their first thing they'll say when you say hip hop artists, they'll start talking about Lil Wayne, or they'll start talking about LL, and they'll think those are the first people that ever touched the earth. And it's like, no, it's people before then. So you just, you know, it's just trying to let people know that there was already a scene. It's the difference between there being a scene and things being popularized.
Right, and that's what we're focusing on, because I saw on the internet recently somebody was saying, I don't want people to think that hip hop just started in 73. No, it did not start there. Mm-mm. That is where it was popularized, and it became more visible. More people knew about it, but in order for something to be popularized, it had to have happened before. You had to have, like, I tell people all the time, like, your favorite artist at one point was an unknown artist. Someone had to introduce that person to you.
It's like Prince, like Rick James introduced Prince. People don't know that. They don't give Rick James enough props. He was the man before Prince.
Right.
Prince used to open for Rick James. Facts. This is not, I'm not making this up. For those who don't believe it, Google it.
So, what does hip-hop stand for? So, according to the explanation, the term pairs the hip, that means trendy or fashionable, mm-hmm. with the hop, leaping movements of dance.
And so, it goes back back to my original statement that it was a culture, because the music, hip-hop started, the reason why the hop came in is because the whole breakdancing culture. Bouncing, flipping, tripping, that's a whole other thing, you know what I'm saying? Well, you know, when we were breakdancing, which started, it's kind of like a ritual, and it was kind of like a serenade to the form of music, and it was a way that, because there was a gang culture back in the early 70s and 80s that, you know, really devastated and took over New York. And so what happened was, they wanted to get the youth, wanted to do something to actually observe that energy in a positive manner. Okay, so Africa Been Bought, a lot of cats is really responsible for a lot of those. Kuwerk is very responsible for a lot of the battles that took place. So instead of us fighting, taking it to the streets and beating each other down, it went to the hip hop culture.
That was, so to speak, your battleground.
Yeah, of course. That's why they call it the battleground. They call it. Right. I mean, you see that in the movie Beat Street.
And those of you that are too young to reference that, you can go ahead and Google Beat Street. It is one. I remember when that came out. I think I was really young, but at the time when it came out, I remember
that was the first real hip hop movie. Because remember, they tried to do it before, and they had a few ones that was more cornier than Beat Street. You had the pilot. It was the pilot, and there was the other one that was actually, oh my God, I'm really going to forget. It was one that was better. It was dope. It was really dope. I think it was probably, I think it was that. And it was
Crush Groove and Beat Street.
No. Before Crush Groove. Before Beat Street. It was another one that came out. I'm trying to think. And you may, where you had the Cold Crush Brothers. Cold Crush. And it was showing you when it first came through. It was the very first one. But it wasn't promoted and popularized because they didn't market it like they did B Street and Crush Groove. You know what I'm saying? But B Street was the very first one that embodied the whole culture. Crush Groove had it, but they didn't have the culture because they didn't have the breaking like B Street did. You know what I'm saying? The graffiti, the chains. B Street broke down everything, all the elements. You had the DJing, you had the graffiti, you had the break dancing, and then you also, it showed how the different cultures, how hip hop took different cultures and mixed it in and made gumbo. That's why you see the DJs. DJs use samples from all different things, and that's where you hear all these dope sounds. And that's why it's groups like Public Enemy, you know, that's responsible for taking the, for popularizing the sample. You know what I'm saying? And really making it explode. You know what I mean? So it's a lot that people don't realize that goes into this culture, not just the music. It was the fashion, the music, the dancing, you know what I'm saying? And also it was an attitude. The attitude was a rebellious attitude. That's where hip hop is come from. Hip hop is basically F the system. You know what I'm saying? We gonna tell it like it is. You've been ignoring the streets for so long. Y'all never paid us any attention. Y'all told us how the street was, because before hip hop, we only had the eyewitness news, or whatever you call the news where you at. You know, there's so many different things. The news that will tell you their version of what went on in the hood, and they didn't know nothing about the hood until right. hip hop told the true stories, the stories about the junkies, about the drugs being sold, about the kids getting shot. That's why white America had no clue. White America was like, oh my God, you guys are just complaining. They didn't see what we was going through, how, you know, how the politics was controlling, destroying our communities, how they brought drugs into our communities. Because what they tried to put out there was that, like, we just brought drugs in our community. You know, urban people just messed up, poor people just Neanderthals. They love this stuff. And it wasn't until hip hop that we had a voice to say, no, we didn't bring this in. We didn't ask to be this. We didn't do this. This is what was done systematically.
That's interesting. This is what was done systematically. So hip hop. So the question is, what is the difference between hip hop and rap?
Rap is real simple. Rap is something you do. Hip hop is something you is. And what I mean by that is hip hop, you live, you eat, sleep, breathe, die, hip hop. Rap is gimmicks. Rap is Tekashi 6ix9ine, okay? Rap is I can make up something and be who I am and put up a character and really not be that person. Hip hop is no, this is who I am. I grew up in the streets. I really lived this life. Yeah, my brother did sell drugs. Yeah, I used to hustle. Yeah, that's why back in the days, people took it. Like, this is why a lot of old school cats have a different feeling to a lot of these young cats. Because they glorify drug dealing stuff and shooting kids. And they don't realize what really come behind it. You know, being a person that grew up in that lifestyle and seen it, you know, it's nothing to glorify. It's nothing beautiful about it. There's nobody, you know, when you go to jail, it ain't all beautiful. Everybody that don't serenade you, you know, you're not having the best time of your life. And when you get out there, it's a party. That's what they put on videos. That's what people see. And hip-hop was actually telling the truth about it. It used to be both sides. Rap music have muzzled both sides. Okay, and for those who don't understand what I'm talking about, Google the secret meaning of hip hop, and that's when hip hop got a muzzle on it, and when it became rap, and when it became popularized, and it became more corporate, where it's sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And if it's not sex, drugs, or violent sales, and for numbers and shock value, then that's what it is. Hip hop was everything. And the crazy part about it is when we grew up, there was different sides to music. You had your conscious rapper. You had your party, you know, your party. And matter of fact, it wasn't even, you had your car. You had different rappers that would specialize in things, but the thing was, albums used to have a formula. You used to have a song that talked about the streets. You had a song that was a party song. You had a song for the ladies. You had a song that was just something that may start a new dance. You had a song that was talking about, you know, just the politics of what really was going on. Then you also had your love, you know, LL started the love songs, but it was diverse. It took you on a journey. Albums don't do that anymore. It's just one-sided. If I'm hype, I'm going to be hype the whole album. If I'm shooting, I'm going to shoot the whole album. Hell, even N.W.A. had Respect Yourself.
Right. There was always two sides to every coin.
Exactly.
Nobody was just one thing, because humans in themselves are multifaceted. To say that means that hip hop is more cultural and deep, and rap is superficial and commercial.
Facts.
So, what are we celebrating? Are we celebrating the birth of an industry? Or are we celebrating the birth of a culture as we look at these 50 years?
We're celebrating its longevity, because people who've been in the game who really know that there was a lot of times that the industry tried to kill hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Seriously, I mean, it was even the death of the DJs. That's why the last show I said big up to Justo Faison, who created the DJs Mixtape Awards, which actually saved us DJs, because there was a time where they wanted to issue out all of the DJs, bring in dancers, and that's why you saw a lot of people where you hear on Tribe Called Quest when he makes that reference to Hammer, when he say if you think rap is pop, then stop. He's talking about like how the labels were saying, you know, it's got to be entertaining. We need the dancers right now. And then every hip hop song, if you don't believe me, just check in the early '90s where everything started going, ah! And it had somebody screaming and singing on every hook. And it just it got corny, and then people stopped listening. And I was one of them. I was like, man, come on, man, what's really going on? And then what happened was hip hop just went underground. It went back to its roots. So if you wasn't deep into it, you wasn't listening to underground mixtapes, or you wasn't listening to stations, you didn't know what was up with hip hop. If you was in commercial stations, you'd be lost. First of all, hip hop wasn't. People act like hip hop has been played on the radio for years. Nah, hip hop is just in the past 20 years just got its notoriety. And I would say the past 15, really, if you really want to be honest with you, because even then, I remember they used to play hip-hop. If you play hip-hop, your song had to be very pop. You had to be commercial. That's why Hammer got Grammy. Why you look and say, wait, hold up. How did Hammer win over Tribe Called Quest? Or that's why a lot of people was pissed. Because you cannot tell us what we're listening to, and you put somebody and say, okay, that's like me going in and rock music. And these people love Bon Jovi and Van Halen and all these, you know, Ozzy Osbourne. But I'll say, you know, Digger Dan is the best in rock and roll. They will be pissed.
And because you said it.
Dan, we don't know him.
Right.
And that's why the hip-hop community was so outraged, and we was pissed. Because, you know, look at the people who won the first hip-hop. Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. He didn't. I loved him, but they didn't embody. How did one ever run DMC? That's impossible.
But they in themselves didn't think that they should have won.
No, what I'm saying is Jazzy Jeff, and you're right. That's why I respect them, because they respected them. And what they did is the reason why nobody was mad, because they took that time to acknowledge other people. And first of all, they did deserve, because I'm not knocking what they did. Incredible group. They definitely hip hop. But what they did was they said, hey, listen, we're going to take this time to respect the pioneers that came before us. Shout out to blah, 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 blah. And that's why nobody was upset.
Right.
I think that's the reason why now you see a lot of people being upset in hip hop, when you get people who saying, I started this and I'm like, when I hear see a person like Academics talk about how he's a DJ and he's breaking, dude, stop. Stop. No one knows you.
We can come back to that. We can come back.
But what I'm saying is I said that to say that that's the same way DJs, real true school DJs, feel about, you know, the art of turntablism in DJs is the same way real hip hop, and, you know, pioneers and enthusiasts feel about hip hop.
Right. Now, a lot of people say that Eminem is one of the first white rappers, but it's not true.
Far from true.
The first documented white rappers are from Queens, MC Search and Pete Nice.
Yeah, Third Base.
Formed the group Third Base. But there was
also... Yo, don't forget about... Yo.
I was about to say the Grass Monkey. What is that?
You talking about Beastie Boys. But don't forget about my boy Milk. What's his name? Keep It Real. Milk. Oh, crap. I got to think of his name. He's going to kill me. But there was another dude who was dope. And he was actually a lyricist. And he was super nice. Oh, my God. It's called Keep It Real. It'll come to me. Go ahead. I'm sorry. But I'm trying to think. But his name.
Now, I don't know when BC Boys was established. I feel like BC Boys was established in the 80s.
Milkbone. Sorry. That's his name. Milkbone. Look him up, y'all. Milkbone.
I do remember Milkbone.
Keep it real. And he used to run with Naughty by Nature Northern. Big shout out, Sim. Right. But my point was, Search, you know, MC Search and what's my man name again?
Nice.
Both of them were super nice. And they was actually, the reason why people accepted them was because they didn't wiggerize it. It wasn't like the white depiction of what hip-hop was. They was just truly being themselves. They actually right. came out with it. And then that's why people respect the Beastie Boys too, because Rick Rubin, with his rock influence, you know, grabbed and threw them on Def Jam. And it was the first rap group to integrate, you know, besides, no, they was the second. They was the ones to popularize, but Run DMC was the first ones. Then you had, you know, Beastie Boys too, brought in rock and roll into it.
Right.
But there was other white rappers, and there was actually another white rapper in the hood that's known, and they everybody talk about New York, but I can't think of his name, but he was out before, even before those guys. So it was, you know, they're not the first. So when they're like, Eminem is the first, nah, he was far from the first. No.
Right. So like I said, 1989 is what they quoted that MC Search and Pete Nice, and I feel like they came in earlier than that, but anyway, mm-hmm. according to the documents, again, we really need to do a better job of documenting our history so that we have accurate information.
But, I got you.
But based on the information, again, they credit Third Base as the first group of white group. Rappers.
Yeah.
I do believe that Beastie Boys and some other people came before them. But anyway.
No. Third Base came before Beastie. They came way before, because Third Base came in the era of Run DMC. Fat Boys.
Yeah, so I'm thinking that Third Base was in 98. It wasn't 89. It had to have been earlier than 89. I feel like I was hearing them before that.
Third Base was out. I'm going to tell you, they were out in the early 80s. I would say about 87, 88, because I had white vinyl. I had undercover, you know, mixed music on them. They did on mixtapes and shows before right. then. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So, Third Base. Yes. First female rapper, MC Shayla Rock.
Shayla Rock
was the first woman to rap on national television in 1981. But hip hop's double standards have left her legacy.
And don't talk about Debbie D. We can't talk about Debbie D, because it's like that's been a whole battle with people, Chi-Rock and Debbie D, you know, because they used to battle. They was beefing with each other. So, it, you know, she's the one, again, who got popularized, who was signed. You know what I'm saying? Who got signed first, should I say.
Well, 81 was the first time that she rapped publicly on national TV. So they acknowledged that as the first female rapper. However, her legacy has been buried because I guess there wasn't any real movement. But, you know, that also goes to the fact that you can be credited as the first, but you still have to have some type of momentum behind you in order to keep your crown.
It was politics back then, because it wasn't labels like that when she first
right.
came out.
It wasn't labels, yeah. It was Cruz. And it was always, so, you know.
But what I'm saying was she didn't have that. She didn't have the sources to put herself out. And it was more right. politic. And don't forget, just like you had, you know, our girls Angie, the group Angie Stone was in Sequence. They was out before. I mean, it was a lot of different female groups that was out before that, you know, don't get the just do that's been right. doing it way before, not just Salt and Pepper, you know, Finesse and Sequence, you know what I'm saying? You had what's my other girl out there? I'll come back to, because there's a bunch of them. I don't want to misquote or say the wrong thing. But it was a bunch more.
Antoinette.
But it's another one too. You had the real Roxanne, but it was Roxanne Shantae first. Then it was the real Roxanne.
I just said that. I said Roxanne. And
no, but you know, when you said the real Roxanne, you know that you got the real Roxanne and Shantae. And they would be beefing over that name from UTFO.
Yes. No, MC Light forever. MC Light. I remember. Anyway, I'm not gonna tell that story today. But MC Light is the reason behind my passion and love for hip hop. One of the reasons. But the first big rap group. Uh-huh. We all know this. Sugar Hill is credited as the first big rap group, and many have released and they released the first rap single, Rappers Delight, in 1979. Many have been quoted as the first artist to sign a major record deal. However, that is not to say that they are the first group. That is to say that they are the first group that has been nationally recognized because they had a record which nobody else had that was released in 79. So it went from a community thing to something that was able to be digested on either a national or a global scale, depending on what the distribution was. So let's not get bogged down in the details. Let's understand what the criteria is for disclaiming who is the first and what the first means.
Facts.
All right, so
you know, I'm just thinking about Sweet Tea. Don't forget about them coming out in the early, and then you going from you know, it's a whole list of the groups from, because most of the things when the girls came out, they came out as groups. The only ones that really came out like really soloists that really killed it early was like Queen Latifah, MC Light, Moody Love, you know, Miss Melody. You know what I mean? You had a few that came in there.
That's interesting that you said Miss Melanie, and I want to segue into that.
Nikki D, can't forget about my girl Nikki D.
Nikki D, Mishimi.
Mishimi, yep, it's a bunch of them.
Wasted, and now you get a nothing. Oh, that was my point. Yeah. Anyway, you know, when I think about hip hop and hip hop culture and the role that women have played in hip hop, and I definitely want to say, in the last five decades, in this last decade itself, I think that we've seen a lot of advancements for females. If there are significantly more female rappers in 2023 than there have been in the last four decades. Mm-hmm. Now, my question is, the rappers of the early 80s, late 70s, the female rappers of that era, would they be accepted in this very visual, very superficial industry that we have now? Would they be accepted in this culture now?
No, because the culture turned hyper-sexualized once Salt and Pepper put Push It, and people found out that women can use their sexuality to sell records. That's when it changed. Before then, you didn't have women groups dancing and looking like that. Salt and Pepper was the one who broke that. We gonna overlook that. They was the ones who broke it. When they came in cat suits and they Push It, that changed it for the women.
So, Salt and Pepper hypersexualized hip hop for females?
No, I'm saying, yeah, they did in a sense. Not saying they also empowered. I'm not saying that they're the ones who did. I'm talking because people, what they did was nothing wrong. But because men are men, people are people, they got curvaceous bodies, they had those suits on, and the song was called Push It. You feel what I'm saying? Where your man, you know, what's his name? Oh my God. The one who Kim plays producer, who also produced them, and it was even shows. It was even Salt's boyfriend. You know what I'm talking about? His name. I can't think of his name right now. Love Bug. When Love Bug actually created, helped, you know, Push It, because they didn't want to do Push It. It was actually his idea. And then when that came out, and they sold that many records, that's labels like, it's a rap, you know, we want groups like that. And that's where every female group started doing. That's when you had, you know, the other girl, MC Hammer's group tried to do it, O-Town 357, L Trim, who's the other group, the female group that was like that? I'm trying to think. It's another group too. Oh, JJ Fad. Notice everybody came up looking, trying to do the Salt and Pepper.
Right.
Right afterwards.
Now, question is, who is the biggest influence on hip hop? They said, and this is, who did more to push the hip hop culture into mainstream? Rakim revolutionized the art of rhyming Nas elevated the standards for modern classic.
That's easy. That one is easy for me because I'm a true hip hop head, and anybody in hip hop will agree. KRS-One. Simple, because he continuously teached, he taught. He's always going around teaching people the culture. He's always respected the culture. He stayed true to it, to the point where he didn't even convert, even after the labels was like saying, hey, you know, we're banning you off the radio airwaves, we block you, and he still survived. And he still, everything he pushes, even his song, you know, Step Into a World, he always revived and revitalized the hip-hop culture.
Okay. Well, according to this document, and again, this is biased because this is based on people's opinions.
Of course.
It is stated that Tupac is the most influential and iconic rapper in the hip-hop industry.
That's undisputed.
You just understand me.
It's a difference in what you said. You asked me who is in hip-hop, and you said who is the most iconic for me. Iconic is somebody who actually started the culture. We're talking the culture here. But so far as who's the most known and the most, you know, pushed person in hip-hop, it has to be Tupac. Because people from other countries, you know, it's because he was pushed more. KRS wasn't pushed like Tupac was. KRS wasn't ever pushed.
No, because they came from a different era, and that's another thing.
But that's okay,
so when we start talking about culture and the evolution of culture, we have to understand that at the beginning of culture, there weren't resources to do the things that we are capable of doing now. And I say this because I've been at the beginning of a lot of movements.
We didn't have digital. It wasn't the internet wasn't around when hip hop started. You know, you had brick and mortar. You didn't have digital distribution. And then also you had to have money. So, you know, people didn't have the resources or backing like you have from these labels like Tupac had. Tupac had backing. KRS wouldn't have had no backing behind him. He never even had the correct push, not just from the labels, but he's never had the push of the machine really working for him because of what he was saying. Tupac told the truth about the streets. KRS told the truth about what was going on politically. And there's a difference when you're talking about just the streets. Now, Tupac talked about politics too, but he didn't talk to it in the extent that KRS-One did.
Right.
KRS-One is known for being the teacher. Pac isn't known for being a teacher. Pac is a teacher, but he's not. No, that's not his title. KRS-One is the teacher of rap, teacher of hip-hop.
Yes, because nobody would forget KRS-One when he talked about him and his brother sharing the same pants. but you know, it was like his lyrics were so vivid. This was
he was the first one.
We had videos,
but he even talked about safe sex. The Jimmy, safe sex, J, the I, the M, the Y, even love's going to get you. Even talked about, you know, how promiscuous women. He even talked about everything broke down to our culture, where you must learn. Where back then, and he's the one, and people forget, he's the one who's one of the spearheads for self-destruction.
Right.
The very first hip-hop song that united all the hip-hop groups when there was so much beef going on, because in the early 90s it started to get a little chaotic because money came into the picture, egos came into the pictures, and people didn't want to work together, and there was a lot of stupid stuff that was going on behind the scenes. And KRS-One said, you know what, let's unite. We shouldn't be fighting. Let's create this song, because while we fighting and killing each other, they're killing us. So it makes more sense for us to popularize that, because look, right now the crack epidemic is going on. In every neighborhood, somebody's getting killed by crack and cocaine, shooting a drug deal. So let's take our power and influence and focus on making a change to the culture versus us taking it against ourselves, because we're misusing what God gave us.
Right. Now, who was the first rapper, black rapper? I don't know why differentiating between black and white. Like, who's the first rapper? Born Curtis Walker in 1959, Curtis Blow, who turns 60 on August 9th, was the first rapper to sign with a major label and the first to become a mainstream star.
It's not about who was rapping.
It's who became mainstream and became nationally known. So these are the criteria for this information. So whatever information you have and whatever clips you want to pull up from TikTok or the internet, keep in mind that these things are programmed by people that don't look like us. So they can put out anything right now. Keep in mind that we're basing it off of national notoriety and record deals. Mainstream record deals, right? So it wasn't until the late 70s, early 80s that we started seeing people that looked like us and lived our experiences.
We weren't seeing them, we were hearing them. But you know what, though, Africa,
he
deserves every bit of flowers he's getting. Let me tell you why. This is what people don't realize. Curtis Blow was popular before he got them deal. Curtis Blow was played in every neighborhood before there was even labels. You heard Curtis Blow on those tapes. You heard him on the Chuck Chillouts, on the Red Alerts. You heard him, you know, on the Mr. Magics way beforehand. He was known, so he earned that. You follow what I'm saying? There's a difference. Right. So it wasn't like somebody got him, they popularized him, and they made him this big superstar and got behind the machine, got behind him. He was the machine before the machine. And the reason why Curtis Blow gets so much respect is that he's always embraced not only the culture, but the hood, but also the people, everybody in hip-hop. Even today, Curtis Blow embraces the new hip-hop artists. So he's always been, he's the godfather. He's like, Curtis Blow to hip-hop is like James Brown to R&B.
Well, Curtis Blow to hip-hop is the James Brown to R&B. The first female rapper that grossed a million records. Mm-hmm. Is The Brat in 1994 with her debut album Funkified. Mm-hmm. And again, it has nothing to do with how you start, but how you continue. It's about momentum and continuity. A lot of people, you know, I respect every aspect of culture, but today when we kind of discredit people, we're like, oh, that's a one hit.
Well, see, I don't like when they do that. You know, I'll say this to you. You're right, but I don't like one thing that they're not going to do is disrespect. The woman who started it and should get the first notoriety for really popularizing is my girl, Queen Latifah. Let me tell you why. Because Queen Latifah single-handedly started the Flavor U. She single-handedly is responsible for a ton of people from Naughty by Nature on to a ton of different artists out there. And she actually is one of the founders of the Zulu Nation. You know, she's one of the members of Zulu Nation. She's one of the founders of, you know what I'm talking about, the Native Tongue. Native Tongue.
Native Tongue.
So she actually helped. There Will Be No Mooney Love. It would be, you know, she helped push Tribe Called Quest. She helped push Naughty by Nature. She was there alongside of Jungle Brothers. Not in the background. You know, they came first, but she was the first. So Queen Latifah is the mecca of hip-hop when you come to women, because she's the one who actually gave women a real voice beforehand. MC Light was doing it too, but Queen Latifah, they made you put respect on her name. Who you calling to be? She came in. She came in swinging. And still to date, she's one of the most iconic and have to be one of the most known females in hip-hop, because she's not just a beast on a mic. She actually was the first woman to break into acting. Hip-hop actors.
She was, I think, for
the whole culture.
I think that for Latifah was good at management. She understood management and organization.
But no, we can't take away her mic skills. She start, listen.
I'm not taking
away her mic skills. Women would be wearing, you know, she single-handedly made women wear kufis and dashikis, and she started that whole movement. She started it for, it was okay for women to respect themselves and her, you know, her and Light. So I say Light was big, but Latifah was more popular because she had more pop songs, more radio hits that Light had at that time. Light killed it, but Tifa was coming in with more pop. I would say they both, and it's kind of like, it's kind of hard to say because I love Light and Tifa is both like neck and neck, but Tifa, the reason why I say that is because she did more for the, she pushed it more as a culture. She pushed it as a culture. She made women dress a certain way. She made women talk a certain way. She single-handedly was the voice of women in the 80s. We referred to like in the early 90s. She was the one who started off. It was Latifah. Because whenever you popped off and you talked about something, and you was, when we was talking about women, and we were like, we compare women rappers or women who was really making it, it was Latifah. Because even before Light, Latifah was a boss. Light made money, but Latifah owned the record label.
Right.
She was her own boss. So what I'm saying is, she when you say hip hop, we talking about the culture. We ain't talking about, now, if you say lyricist, that's another story. That's debatable, right? But we're talking about for the culture. Latifah, baby.
Well, again, like I said, Latifah had more managerial skills, and she understood that there was an opportunity to expand beyond just the music. She delved into the writing, even in a fictitious
producing. Don't forget she had TV shows, the Queen Latifah show. I just, because when you say writing, it, you know, the reason why I clarify that again is because some people may think she just penned ink for people. You feel what I'm saying? Or wrote rhymes. You know, people don't realize that she wrote, you know, stories, shows, movies, everything. Yeah.
Right. So I just want to, again, I want to credit Flavor Unit, because she talked about it even in her Living Single show. She used Flavor as one of as a fictitious business
label. Store a newspaper.
Right. So I wanted to be understood that she was one of the first people that actually organized groups of people and did the multimedia production before we had multimedia production online and we were able to access it and produce it as easily as we do now.
In fact,
when we talk about 50 years, and I want to get into this because there's so much that goes into 5 decades of culture, where we started and where we are. There are always going to be pain points. There are always going to be causes, and there are always going to be movements. Right now, do you think that in another 10 years, when we get ready to celebrate our 60th anniversary of hip hop culture, do you think that hip hop will be recognizable from whence it came?
I think hip hop will always be. I just think that rap has changed the narrative. And before I finish answering that question, to double back on something you said earlier when you were talking about the Brat, this is what people don't realize. The Brat was the youngest female artist, hip hop artist, to make it mainstream and to blow up. So we're going to put some respect on her name. I wanted to make sure I put that out there, because you know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't realize, you know, what she contributed so much for introducing the world to rappers in the South. You know what I'm saying? And it's a few other rappers, you know, that we can go and we talk about that, you know, Mia X, Gangsta Boo, there's a few other ones, you know, my girl Yo-Yo, my girl Yo-Yo. You know, it's a few, Bahamadi, it's a lot of people that's honorable mentions that has been overlooked, that's been killing it. You know what I mean? But my point, getting back to what you were saying, is I think that hip hop will always be recognized, because hip hop is hip hop. It's a culture. It's not, you know, propaganda. It's not what society and what we do. But I think that the mainstream's version of hip hop may change.
So as we evolve, as we grow, as we develop as a culture, what are some of the things that we need to put in place collectively as a culture to make sure that we preserve the history of the culture.
Simple. Respect the culture. A, respect the pioneers, do your research, stop just looking on Wikipedia and ask people who was actually there, who's present, who know about the culture. Talk to old school DJs, the old school people who listen. Talk to older people, because guess what? They got stories that you don't have. They was around at the parties. They was there. You're telling me what Wikipedia, what Tom from Wikipedia wrote, and he wasn't even there in the party. He had nowhere in the party. He has no idea what's going on. I think if we start respecting it, because there'll be a much more respect, not just to each other, but there'll be a much more respect of the culture and the music, and then the music will change. The reason why the music is not changing is because we're following too many trends. Where hip hop was known for being leaders, not followers. So now is, you know, we're following, you know, it's gimmicky. It's no longer culture. Culture was, that's why back in the 90s, you had a million groups out, but none of them sound the same. Everybody had their own swag. It was a thing we call biting. That's where the term biting comes from.
Yeah, you know, but there was also gatekeepers. There were the A&Rs. They were the A&Rs that made sure that only the best of the best rose to the top. And now, you know, now we don't have that sieve.
But it's the reason, Africa, like you said it, me and you both know the reason why there's no A&Rs is because Let's get back to it. It's the business of music, right? Everybody's in to make money. Now, the reason why A&Rs are not doing it anymore is because labels are not backing artists anymore, because then you have a lot of artists that came and messed it up too, where they'll come in, sign to a label. Labels spend millions and millions of dollars on this artist. This artist takes all the training and learning techniques that label said manager have and go to the next person. And so people like, I'm not investing no more. So we want ready-made people. Why should I invest in you? So then you have some people who were hot, but they couldn't put on a show. They don't know how to perform. So when people go see them live, they suck. And then the sales go down, and then their tour sales go down. So it's ways, it's different avenues of multiple streams of making money in hip-hop, in the industry, that has to be thought about when you're signing an act or when you're a new act. And the problem is, again, a lot of these people think, oh, because I could rap or because I'm talented. You know, you got a lot of people who are amazing freestylers, suck, can't make a song to save their life. Or they can make a track, can't perform to save their life. So back then, we had our development, because our whole thing was you had to be a whole package. You had to have a good stage show. You had to have a presence. You had to know how to write a song. You had to know how to speak to your to public relations, know how to speak to your consumer, know how to respect your fans, knew how to talk to it, knew how to, when you went to different cities, to respect the cities that you visited. You know, it was a whole, you were developed. You know, that's why they call A&R, artist development. A&R is artist relations. And
right,
development.
And I do agree with you, but again, the reason why there was so many, the reason why those things were important was because back then, you didn't have that many opportunities to go to different cities. You didn't have that many opportunities to connect with your fans. Now we have a viral society where anybody can, as long as you have a phone, you can pick up the phone and you can connect with thousands of people,
bingo,
especially if you have a name behind yourself.
Bingo. The age, we said it last interview, Age of Independence, Africa.
Right. But I don't want to get off of the courses, you know, with the growth and development of the hip hop culture over the past five decades. What are some things that we need to put in place to guarantee and solidify our spot in culture? We had the Motown era that lasted. I don't know how long that lasted. Mm-hmm. I do remember watching Motown 25 with
decade.
My mom. I don't. Yeah,
I say know. Because it's still relevant. Because it's still relevant.
Right.
Because we're still talking about it. People still playing it. You know, Marvin Gaye. You know, bottom line is this. Good music,
but they don't make Motown sound anymore.
But because
so that's what I'm saying.
Good music. This is the thing, because that whole Motown era is the same thing in hip hop. And the reason why I say that is because both genres, okay, in both eras, okay, when we talk about hip hop, we talk about Motown. Both of those was based upon skill, was based upon talent, was based upon originality. You know, you couldn't just go and be on Motown. You had to audition. You had to prove it. You had to come in. You had to have a certain sound. You had to be unique. And that's what made you Motown. And those people still get played today. Songs never go out of sound. Sam Cooke, Otis Redding, you still hear because the sound was unique. Good music is good music, and it never dies. Whether, no matter what genre you're in, rock and roll, hip-hop, house, whatever you're listening to, good music is good music. And that's what Kanye came up with, the brand Good Music. People are forgetting that. That to respect the art, you know, Prince used to always talk about it, you know, the art form. You couldn't be down with Prince if you ain't had no talent. You couldn't be down with Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson wasn't hopping on the track with you if you weren't making no talent.
Right.
Back then, artists took their craft seriously, and it wasn't about just numbers and gimmicks. Here, it's more about notoriety. The case in point, I'm saying, a person can get 1 million views on TikTok, and all of a sudden, now he's a star. Now he has talent. Right. I mean, I'll sum it up for you. I got one name that'll sum it up for all, everything we're saying right now. Kardashians. Right. The end.
Okay, we're talking hip-hop. Even
what I'm saying is, listen, reason why I said that is because we still talking, they're supposed to be celebrities, right?
I don't know to whom, but
I'm just saying that's what, quote unquote, you know, like, you know, my hands is doing the two fingers in the air,
they're
celebrities, right? My point is, what talent do they have? Can you name it? I'm looking for the talent still. And it's been decades, you know, it's over almost a decade now. Again, back then with hip hop, you had to have skills. That's why it's called microphone controller. You had to have MCs. You had to have skills. That's why I call it battle. That's how Eminem came in and why he got his respect, because he had microphone skills. You couldn't call yourself an MC without having skills. Back in the days with true hip-hop, you couldn't call yourself a DJ without doing a DJ battle. That's where you had the movie like Juice that came in B Street. All of them reinforced what I'm saying, that you had to have skills.
Okay.
Hell, what's the R&B? You know what I'm talking about. The Motown. You know, you say, oh, it's a Motown. What's the freaking movie everybody knows that showcases it when you had to have skills? What's that movie everybody knows? Eddie Kane and all that. You know what I'm talking about.
Heartbeats.
What is Fight Heartbeat showcase? The skills. Remember they was battling the other dude that came on. He came off the stage. Oh, girl, go crazy. Skills. You had to have performance skills. Michael Jackson is one of the reason why he's the king of pop is because he made sure that every video was a movie. Skills. And when you see him live, he killed it. That's and the closest I can say to today that you see is people like Usher or Chris Brown.
Right.
Or Beyonce or Kelly Rowland or Rihanna or, you know, people who
performance,
actually
right. People who
take
performance.
You know, take from the performance. When we say MZ, that's why Jay-Z is the Jay-Z, because no matter what you want to say, the brother kills it live every time he's on the stage.
Right.
That's why DMX will forever go down as legendary. You felt his energy. Whether you knew him, heard his song, I mean, the very first time I seen this brother, I knew he had it. Very first time. When I heard his song and I seen the video he was doing, where my dog's at? It was over. His energy. Tribe Called Quest. De La Soul. All you gotta do is see these people one time. Common Sense. One time. The energy, it's just the energy. Queen Latifah, you know, Light, everybody we talked about, it's energy, and it's basically people who actually take, it's a difference between somebody who take pride and joy in their song, you can feel the difference, versus somebody who's just, you know, a one-hit wonder who just put out something.
Do you think the popularity of hip-hop is declining?
Yes. I think the popularity of hip-hop, of real hip-hop is, I don't think, what the rap and what the commercialized version is, but the real, what real hip hop is, I think it's declining, but I think there's also a resurgence of it too, because with that, overseas is actually bringing it back. You know, it's weird. In the States, they try to commercialize, and overseas is bringing it out of it back. Because you see more hip-hop artists overseas that actually embody and that really love the art of hip-hop versus here in the States.
I think that that's always a trend when you look at culture and music outside of its origin space. People that embrace it, they kind of gravitate towards the original of the original architect of it. According to Luminate, hip hop has a 26.8% share in U.S. recorded music consumption. The next closest genre is rock at 20%. Mm-hmm. But the hip hop numbers were 27.7 in 2021 and reached a peak of 28.2% in 2020. After a heightened growth period in the 2010s, hip hop's growth has slowed down. So it has slowed down from the recorded music charts. Now again, charts are created by people that don't look like
us. And not us. Let's keep it up. People who are not us. People who got money. The industry, the hip hop industry, is ran by people who don't even freaking love hip hop, who don't even listen to it. Let's start there.
So a lot of the things that we're saying, a lot of the things and or information that we're giving is based on national popularized understandings of what culture is. Now, when we talk about hip hop culture, there's so much of a rich culture brewing internationally, underground, in rural areas. There is a buzzing and thriving hip hop community that doesn't get the notoriety that a lot of people that a lot
it's doing what it's always been. Hip hop has always been underground, and right. it was actually one of the almost longest underground forms of music that it took before it got commercialized, before we would say like blues and all that, because of course there was a filter, and a filter, I hate to say it, but it was race related. You know what I'm saying? Right. So when we had it, of course, you know, hip hop didn't become popular until they started listening to it.
Right. But it also, anyway. So moving right along, we are out of time. I want to thank you again for another interesting and engaging conversation as we get ready to celebrate 50 years of hip hop.
Thank you,
August 11th, 2023. We're going to be right here for the next couple of weeks. You're going to hear Cool V and yours truly right here as we talk about hip-hop and hip-hop history. All right? Once again, V, let everybody know how they can find you. Please do not do blogs.
I know you're going to come with it. No, listen. Y'all follow me.
People know how they can find you, all right?
Follow me. It's My Vibes on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, you know, Twitter. The same thing, you know, on YouTube. And also, if I may leave on this note, to all the listeners out there, to all the new cats, man, it's in hip-hop. We love you, man. Keep doing what you do. Just keep your music and stay original. To all the DJs, MCs, singers, artists, and music, period, be you. And stay independent. Don't let the labels change you. Don't sell your soul for nobody, or sell your message or your brand for nobody. There's an audience for you. If the U.S. does not like you, go overseas. We're now in the digital era, so you can be a millionaire in Africa or Asia or wherever the hell else, you know, for whoever likes your market. And don't, just because somebody, you know, writes something or criticize you, don't give up and lose your faith. And also, you know, let's start respecting each other, old and new, because, you know, we were once young. And again, you know, at the same point in time, you know, young people, remember, you're going to get old too. So while you're calling people old and thinking this, that, and the third, you know, somebody's going to be calling you old the next 10 years. Hip hop, you know, recycles fast. But I would say this good music lasts. That's that. One love.
culture recycles fast. That's right. Good luck. Don't forget, you can check out all of the mixes right here on Discover Music Channel. Go to AfrikaAlot.com to get all of the mixes. We are now only doing audio podcasts, so if you would like to check out our mixes, go ahead and become a super supporter. Super supporter subscription started 3.
Yo, Africa, I gotta also tell him a shout out too. Big shout out to Africa Allah because she's part of the Radio Next Radio DJ Network. And for all you artists that's trying to get your music out there too, as well, for all you radio DJs who have a joint, send me up, hit me up at RN Radio Network, Radio Next Radio Network. So it's RN Radio Network at gmail.com. Submit your music, submit your mixes. We listening. And also, just want you to know, Miss Africa Allah is going to be on, you know, we got an upcoming radio station. It's going to be announced right here soon on her station, her channel. And you'll also hear exclusive mixes from yours truly right here on her station, her channel. And you hear first from here before I launch anywhere. I'm coming here first. So stay tuned. You heard the whistle. It's official.
All right. So like I said, become a super supporter. We out of here. Thank you for tuning in. All right.
What love?